Nope, there is no others. There is no other. We celebrate and have been for thousands of years the birth of Christ. That's a good thing, isn't it? Sometimes we celebrate other people's birthdays too. Like Grant's birthday is coming up. You got busted out. Let's sing happy birthday to Grant. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Grant. Happy birthday to you. Sitting in the middle of the back row. You can wish him a happy birthday. You can thank your mother for that one. He goes, I know. Well, turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. That's what we just read. We're not going to read it again. It's what we read for our Advent candle. Our Thrashers did a wonderful job with that. But the focus today is we talked last week about the message of hope that there is in Christ. Joseph learned that he serves a God who will never forget you. He does not forget you. That he still helps us. And he shows up. Personally, God shows up when we need him. That's what we learned last week. But behind that message of hope, there is a love that is behind that message. There is a God who is love to you, love for you, who is love. And it's that love that motivates his action to be there and show up personally. And we're going to learn a little bit about that love and how God shows up. You know where he shows up? You know where he meets you? Right where you are, right? Some of you read the bulletin cover. Good for you. Yeah, he meets you right where you are. He doesn't say, you know what? You're here, but you need to get like about 10 foot more before I'll show up. He says, if you call on me right here, I'll meet you right here. And that's our God. Like Mary. Mary was one who he showed up right where she was. Because God meets the unlikely people right where they are. But it's the people that are willing. It's the people that are willing. And he rewards those willing humble hearts by just meeting them right where they are. In our verse today, we read Mary's prayer. This was right after she went to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who was carrying John the Baptist. She was already some months along with John the Baptist. And as soon as Mary came in carrying Jesus in her womb, John leapt in Elizabeth's womb and just said, "Whoa! Somebody showed up. Power came in, that name that's above every name." And John responded. And Mary prayed, "My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he has been mindful, God has been mindful of the humble state of his servant." Do you ever feel like you're too shy for God to really use you? Do you ever feel like you just don't know enough about the Bible? I hear that a lot. I can't really talk to people about my faith. I just feel like they're going to ask me questions that I don't know the answer to. I just don't know enough. Do you ever feel like I can't do it, fill in the blank with whatever the it is. I just can't. Or I don't know how, or you know what, look at so-and-so, or this person, they're better at it than I am. I could never do what they do, right? We come up with all these reasons why God could never use me. God loves to use the unlikely. He loves to use the unlikely ones. The ones that are just like, "Oh, really? This person?" He's not looking for the one that has all the gifts and talents. What's he looking for? Yeah, a willing heart, a humble heart, a heart that just says, I'm not much, God, but if you want to use me, you know, however you want to use me. That's what God's looking for. And this young girl, probably a teenager, probably younger than our two gals up here, probably maybe in 16, maybe 15 years old, maybe even younger than that, just engaged to be married, fearful, just trying to walk through this time of life, getting married. This is all something new. It's a scary time. And God says, but you know what? Your humble, willing heart has allowed me to use you to give birth to the Son of God, the Savior of the world. Wow. And it says, she prayed, from now on all generations will call me blessed. All generations will call me blessed, this young girl prayed. It says, for the mighty one, the almighty God, has done great things for me. Wow. Holy is his name. Oh, perfect, set apart in goodness, his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him. If you would walk through your life in a reverent, holy fear of God, not I'm afraid of him, but he's God, so I'm going to live my life in a way that honors him because he's God. He's God. I can't go snubbing my nose at him. People do that, and I'm like, that's a dangerous thing to do. This is the God that holds the whole world, the whole universe in his hands. There is a healthy reverence that we are called to have. And God says his mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. That's all she had, was a humility, a reverent fear. And the love behind this message is that God offers her a name that is remembered from generation to generation to generation, that call her blessed. That's amazing. That's amazing. A mighty one has done great things for me. Why? Because she was all that and a bag of chips? No, because she had a humble and willing heart. God meets us right where you are. If you see yourself as one of those, God could never use me, oh yes, he can use you right where you are, as you are, if you would simply say, I don't know what you can use me for, God, but here I am. Use me. He meets us where we are like he did the Magi, what we call the three wise men. We don't really know if there were three of them. And Magi was really more the area that they were from, the tribal area that they were from, more than a name of, you know, wise men. They were seekers of their day. And seekers of their day used astrology, science as they had it back then. They probably used some sorcery type things of their own, because these were not Jewish people. They were from the region of the Persians. And so they were using what they had, seeking to know God and know truth and the tools that they had available to them. Now, how did they hear about it? Because they knew something about the Jewish Messiah that was to come. They probably learned of that from the time of the Jewish captivity, the exile, the 70 years. Probably through people like Daniel or others that were exiled into the far east when Babylon conquered them, and the Persians and the Medes conquered the Babylonians, and people learned about the God of the Jews, this Jehovah God. And so they were like, we have heard about the Savior, and they saw the star, and they began seeking truth. Now, sometimes what we find when we find truth is what we were expecting. or even what we wanted to find about truth and about who God truly is. Sometimes those who truly are seeking to know God find out that he's different than they expected him to be. Have you ever found God to be different than you expected him to be? If you haven't, you haven't studied him long enough yet. Because you will find him to be different than you expected him to be. If you seek him long enough, you will find that what you thought you understood about him was not really who he was. That's because we don't know him. We never really know him completely. These magi were seeking to know God, and they ended up finding him because they were seeking truth. They were not seeking God as in the way that they wanted him to be. They were seeking God for who he actually is. For them, there was like, so the Jews, these people that we conquered and subjected to exile and slavery, the Jewish God is the true God? Would that be something that you would expect? You wouldn't have expected that the people, the God of the people you conquered, was going to be the true God, would you? But that was the truth. Many people struggle with believing in this day and age the God of the Bible. Have you heard the term, you're on the wrong side of history? How many people have heard that? You're on the wrong side of history, basically meaning people used to think this way, but history has said, no, that's not true. This is now the right way on this side of history. There's a lot of people that are said, wrong side of history. You got to leave this back there because there's new truth and this isn't it. We are called to say as God's people, this is still the right side of history. This is still true. When we are seeking God as he truly is, and hear me, not how we want him to be, or not how people around us say he is, but who he truly is. A number of you people know me pretty well. If you really wanted to get to know me, how would you do that? Yeah, maybe take me to dinner. That's a great idea, by the way. I fully support that. You would seek to talk to me, right? Now, Chris, what if you said, you know what? I know Brian knows Pastor, so I'm going to go talk to Brian. Would you get to know me necessarily? Some yes, some no, because Brian doesn't know me completely, right? I'm the only one that knows me completely, so you need to come to me. If we truly want to know who God truly is, we seek him rather than who we would like him to be, because a lot of times people try to project upon God, well, this is who God is, this is who God should be, and God is who he is. Whether you like what he is or not, doesn't matter, because he is who he is. If Chris gets to know me and finds out, I don't think that Pastor Frank's all that nice of a guy after all. Well, you may not like me, but guess what? That's who I am. Ah, there goes my dinner. So yeah, if we want to get to know him, we have to get to know him, not who somebody else would like him to be. And that's what the Magi had to do. God met them where they are, and he showed him himself who he truly is. Now, he also showed himself to Herod, didn't he? Herod was the one that, was Herod seeking after the one true God? He was a pretty wicked guy, actually. He was not living for God. He was raised as a Jewish person, but he was a part of a group that was conquered and ended up being taught Judaism, But he wasn't, his family isn't, wasn't Jewish from a from heritage. He was taught Judaism, but he wasn't living it by any stretch. This is the guy that, after he couldn't find Jesus, killed every child under 2 years of age. So he was not a walking, talking Jewish person. No, he really wasn't seeking God. But you know what? God seeks ones that are not seeking him. God seeks people who are even not even seeking him. Maybe that was you once upon a time. God showed up in your life and you weren't even looking for him. And he knocked on the door of your heart and you trusted him. Maybe today you're in a place where you're really not seeking God. And that's, we've all been in different places, but you found yourself here. Let me tell you, God seeks those, even those that are not seeking him, because God's desire is that what? He wants all men to be what? To be saved and to come to know him. His desire is for every one of us to walk in a relationship with him. So he sends signposts and warnings and GPS alerts. How many people, you know, how many people here get told what to do by inanimate objects? Raise your hands, everybody. Not everybody, but yeah, how often does my phone say, you got an appointment, or you missed an appointment, or turn here. We were driving somewhere and the GPS said, there's traffic jams because there's an accident up ahead, so find a different way. We all get told what to do by these inanimate objects. And you know, the better that our phones have gotten as far as gathering information, the better they get at telling us what to do, don't they? We used to use MapQuest, right? Type it up on our computer, print it out, and we'd take our piece of paper, and that was our GPS, right? But God seeks those who really aren't paying attention for him. And he says, he sends messages. He sends alerts to us. He sends believers into your life that love you or that live out their faith in front of you or speak their faith at different situations. He sends reminders into your life when he has spoken truth and memories about what God's word maybe taught you as a child or that you saw on TV or whatever. He'll send problems into our lives to say, hey, there's things you cannot handle, death being one of them, so I'm going to give you some teasers on things you can't handle. And you need to pay attention because there is something bigger about life than the things that you think you got your arms around. They remind us that we do need someone's help. We do need a rock that is higher than I, someone that is bigger than life. And he sends rescuers for your trouble and reminds you that, I'm here. God sent some seekers into Herod's life. What did Herod do with those? He used them to try to find out who this Messiah was so he could get rid of the Messiah. Why? Because Herod didn't want to lose his place of power. Herod was still about self, right? And we don't want to be like Herod. We want to pay attention to the alerts that God leaves in our lives and beeps at us and signposts that we pass by because he seeks after those that aren't even seeking him. Why? Because this is the heart of love behind the message of hope. God loves even the ones who don't seek after him. Or like the shepherds, God meets the shepherds right where they are. He meets the simple, everyday person and sends them on some great, grand adventure. Here we have, shepherding was a pretty humble job. It was not a great job. Shepherds were looked at as kind of pretty low on the totem pole. They lived out, you know, they were fairly uncouth people. They lived out in the fields. They didn't have much connection with family and with community. They were not highly thought of in their world. But there it is. God meets with simple shepherds. What does he do? The shepherds are out just watching their sheep, sitting out in the cold or whatever. And God sends a chorus of angels to announce that God, the Savior, has been born in Bethlehem. I mean, that's amazing. Living out their simple life, not doing anything special. When God shows up into your simple, average, everyday world, what will you do? When he shows up and offers an adventure and says, I've got this for you. This is what the angel did. He said, don't be afraid, because an angel came. And you know what the angels always said when they showed up? Don't be afraid. So they were apparently like pretty intimidating, pretty freakishly, what's going on? They said, don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be the sign. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. That's what it'll look like. So the angel puts it out there. Of course, then they have the great chorus, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace towards men on whom his favor rests. And the shepherds said, looked at each other and said, whoa, let's go to Bethlehem, right? Let's get out of here. Somebody will take care of the sheep. We'll leave them in God's care. Off they went. And they said, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. Simple people going about their simple lives. And all of a sudden, God lays in front of them, I just brought the Savior of the world in, so what are you going to do with that? They could have been like, well, that's kind of cool. Let's read about it in the news, I guess. We'll see. I'm sure somebody will tell us about it next time we're in town. Or they said, what? I'm going. I'm going to see this. I'm going to be a part of this. God gave them the opportunity. He laid it before them. And they had the choice to enter into the grand adventure or not. Don't we all get those opportunities? That's the love behind the message. He says, I love to give these opportunities for adventure, and I love to lay them at the average person's feet. He doesn't look for the great grand people. He looks for average Marys and Josephs and shepherds. He looks for wise men, magi, and Herod kings too. But he looks for the average person. A couple of thoughts I read about some people that were seemingly insignificant. And they took the bait, so to speak. They took the opportunity. This is in the summer of 1983. There was a teenager by the name of Lisa Bender. Anybody heard of her? Nope, I never did. She lived in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. And she made a great victory for the cause of religious liberty in the United States and school systems. As a high school student, Lisa wanted to begin a prayer club in her school. Okay? When the officials at school refused her that right, she took them to court. Just a little high school girl. With the help of an organization called the Christian Legal Society, she won. And her victory prompted the legislators to design a law and sign into law the Equal Access Act, which says that anybody has free access to be able to use school facilities, whether it's for religious or somebody wants to do band stuff or somebody wants to raise money for or make environmental awareness. Whatever it is, everybody has equal access. That wasn't a thing. Some teenage girl took it all the way to the Supreme Court, and God used her. Isn't that something? Simple people. Another story, when the Queen of Korea lost her little child by death, I'm not sure what year this was. I'm sure it was in the last century sometime. But the Queen of Korea lost her daughter, her child by death, a slave girl in the palace, just a girl who was nothing more than a slave, told her of heaven where the child had gone and the Savior who would take her there. And that was how the gospel was introduced into the country of Korea. Just some simple slave girl's willingness to share in the simple place where she was. Isn't that amazing? Those opportunities that God gives us and lays before us, we never know if they're just going to make an impact on maybe one soul for eternity or transform a nation of people. We really don't know, do we? It doesn't matter. Just know that God meets you right where you are. It says, I've got an adventure for you. Just pay attention, and I'm going to open those doors and give you opportunities to walk through that. That's the love behind the message that God, that Christmas is all about. It's a love that meets you wherever you are, whether you're a Mary who just says, I'm just going to be humble and say, God, I'm available if you would use me. Or a wise man, a magi that says, I'm seeking the great and deep things of truth, but I want to know truth, not who I want God to be, but who he truly is. And God will meet you there. Maybe you're a Herod. Don't take that personally. If you're not even seeking God, it's just not on your radar, guess what? God is seeking you. You're going to find him knocking on the door of your life. In different times, I want you to pay attention. Maybe you can look back in your life and say, yeah, I can kind of think of some of those times when God was kind of rattling my cage and saying, pay attention. God seeks even the ones that are just, God's not on their radar right now. He loves you and is seeking you and will continue to knock on the door of your life in different ways because he's a God of love. Or maybe you're a shepherd who just feels, I'm just going about my average everyday life. Oh, God takes the average and the everyday and turns it into adventures. If you're paying attention to when he lays that adventure in front of you and you say, all right, I'll go, I'll dive in. You put it out in front of me, God. I'm gonna grab hold and go. And God meets you right where you are. Isn't that exciting? It's the heart of God is when you begin to delve into who he is, we can learn more and more about him by watching what he does, what he has done. It's an incredible thing to know how much God pursues us and seeks us, his great love for us. Well, we're going to close in prayer. I'm going to send you out with that on your heart and on your mind. This is God. This is who he is. It's the love behind the message of hope that there is in Christmas. Lord, as we bow our heads, I trust, Holy Spirit, that you have been taking not my words, but your word, and just really opening our hearts and minds to maybe how you've been speaking to us or working in our lives in the past. But even more than that, Lord, how you have every desire and intention today and tomorrow to speak into our lives, to meet us right where we are, right where we're going to be tomorrow or next month or next year. Thank you, God, for how faithful you are to do that. Because love pushes through. Love is willing to do things that responsibility or wouldn't. We kind of blow things off sometimes, but when we love somebody, when we care about somebody, it pushes us to go beyond our comfort. God, Your love is perfect, and it causes you to go far beyond what we ever could imagine. So our hearts are open to you, Lord. If you're speaking, oh, we're ready. Why? Because we know more of who you are and your great love for us. So bless us as we go, Lord. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see, hearts that are just seeing and sensing how you're working in our lives. So bless us as we go today. We love you so much, Jesus, for what you've done. And give us a great week in you today, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, and amen, and amen. God bless you. Go say good morning to somebody that you maybe haven't seen in a while, or somebody